through 6. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Honey?
So you remain standing and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day, Lord, you give us. The sunshine coming in upon the snow, Lord. I know it's cold, Lord, but it's warm in here. We thank you for our church, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for our church family, those that made it. We've been away a long time, Lord. Miss each everybody. Just pray, Lord, we get some handshake. Just say a simple hello to each and every one of us here today, Lord. I just pray, Lord, today that you would have your hand upon our service. You guide and direct our pastor, Lord. Give him the strength that he needs today, Lord, to deliver your message. Be with us, Lord, as we sing music to you and each and every other thing that we do, Lord, that we do nothing but bring honor and glory to your name today. Thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for this great nation we live in, Lord. We know it's many freedoms. We know it's troubles, Lord. We ask for guidance, Lord. We ask that people would turn to you, Lord. We ask for revival, Lord. We know it starts individually, but if we do, that it might spread, Lord, like fire. Today, Lord, just give us a good day. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And as we're standing, page 68, please. Hymn number 68.
Praise him, praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer.
Is coming over the world victorious. you. You may be seated.
Jason?
Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Well, good to be here with everyone, and good to see a good number out today, even with the little bit of an ice slick we have out there. Okay, well, I don't know if you have everything up there, Jeff. Okay, our announcements are on the right-hand side of the bulletin, also up on the screen in just a moment. PM message this evening, The Lost Doctrine of Separation, Part 2. Drama team meets every Monday at 6 p.m., and of course, there have been some days that we haven't met, so if you're interested in being on drama team, touch bases with myself or with Autumn or Doug or any other ones that are on the drama team, and we'll get you on the call list, and that way we make sure that we all meet together and no one gets left behind. Personal evangelism, 6 p.m., January 25th, that's Tuesday. Deacon meeting, January 23rd at 5 p.m. Business meeting on January 30th to discuss Wednesdays. Iron Sharpens Iron Bible Study, which is now the men's Bible study. We'll meet on January 22nd at 9 a.m. and see Doug. He has a paper for you there as a reminder if you need that or would like to join us. And it's a real good time, guys. I go whenever I can, which is most of the time, praise God. And you know what? It's something that I never regret going to. So, you know, if the Lord's pulling on your heart a little bit to come and join us, don't hold back. Come and be with us. We'd love to have you. Women's Bible Study will meet on January 22nd at 10 a.m. Wilton Bible Study, January 20th, 6 p.m. Of course, that is in Wilton. That is at the Presbyterian Church basement still, right? That hasn't changed. Okay. Iowa Men's Prayer Advance Retreat. That's with Walnut Park. This is a prayer seminar from 9 to 2. Please let, and I'm guessing that's 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. and probably not the other way around. Please let Pastor know by January 26th if you would like to attend. The cost is $15 per person. This will be at Walnut Park Church. Pastor's thought for the week. God's work is accomplished by those that get up and go, not by those who get up and go, got up and went. Who's get up and go, got up and went. Got it. All right, it takes me a second. I haven't had my second cup of coffee yet. All right, well, is there anything else that we would like to announce today? Anything that's been forgotten, left out?
There is a business meeting immediately after the morning service.
Business meeting immediately after the morning service, according to Pastor John here. So please stay for that. And, okay, if there's nothing else. What, did I miss something here? Oh, you know what? That's over on the left-hand side of your bulletin. It didn't make it over to the right-hand side. So, all right, well, let's go ahead and thank God and praise Him for the time that we have together and for the, you know, pray for the offering as well. Let's bow our heads. Oh Lord, our Father, again we thank You, God, for this day that You have blessed us with. Another day of Your grace, another day of life, Lord, a day that we can gather here together in Your name as a Christian family. We thank You, oh Lord, so much for all of Your blessings, Your care, Your love, and Your grace, Lord, and we say that especially in the times in which we live, Lord, and we know that times are changing, and Lord, we don't know exactly where everything is going and how soon it's going, Lord. We know where it'll eventually end up according to Your word, and we thank You, God, for the promise and the hope that we have through You. But Lord, in this time in which we have, Lord, I just pray that You will draw us closer to You today, that You help us, O Lord, to humble ourselves and humble our hearts to You, Lord, and come to You with sincere hearts, that You will guide us through Your word today and through the message that Pastor John has prepared through the guidance of Your Spirit, that You open our hearts, Lord, give us knowledge, wisdom, understanding, Lord, and again, draw us unto You, we pray. Now, Lord, bless this gift that we give back to You once again from the great abundance that You have given us, O Lord. We thank You, God, and praise You. And in the name of Your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
before Pastor starts, we are going to have just a short choir practice after our business meeting this morning. So thank you.
Once again to our services, it's nice to see a good group out today. We have had some disruptions, haven't we, here in the last few weeks. This message was actually supposed to be delivered a week ago today. And so I've kept it fresh in the refrigerator, and hopefully it'll still be good and not spoil. I know one thing, God has preserved his word. It'll never be spoiled. It'll always be profitable when we look at it. I want to caution all of us, though, this morning, and I do have to... Sorry, Doug, come on up. Go ahead.
That's okay.
All right.
Sorry, you got to have to be quick. Beat me up there. So.
Okay, Isaiah 6.
Yes.
We're going to read the whole chapter, just 13 verses, so if you want to turn there. Brand new year, and I enjoyed that solo, Pastor. I used to play the trumpet. And so I appreciate any brass music you can hear, because it's kind of rare these days to hear good brass music, even in the secular category. But Jason, it's a brand new year, man, and Jason did a good job of announcing the iron sharpeneth iron meeting on Saturday. And Denny, he's got his pickaxe sharpened to unearth some treasures in the Word, and we're really blessed by that each time we get together. And so 9 o'clock this Saturday, and we'll have the coffee brewing, and even some muffins that we usually have to share. They call me the Muffin Man. You probably you remember that little song of the Muffin Man, so that's what I help to provide some tasties there. Okay, Isaiah 6, 1 through 13. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. Thank you, Lonnie. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. The whole earth is full of his glory. And I saw the posts of the door moved at the voice of him who cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and be converted, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without them, and the land shall be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed from men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten, as a tell tree, and as an oak, whose substance is in them, when they cast their leaves, as so the holy seed shall be the substance of it. All right, Pastor.
Thank you, Doug. May God add his blessing to that reading of his word. Forgive me, Doug, and everyone else for treading upon you this morning. We have changed things up a little bit, and I get out of order. I'm used to being ready to go up and preach after the special music, but we're thankful for that word. That's an exciting piece of scripture, and by the way, if you listen to that a little bit, realize that Isaiah was called to preach to a group of people that didn't want to hear. They heard the words, but they did not respond to the message. Oh my, does that speak to today? Does that speak maybe to some of us here today? I believe it certainly could. It's something to take notice of. But I greet you in the name of the Lord this morning. I also want to just mention today again to be in prayer for the Hendricks family. Heidi and Jeff lost their brother early this last week, Scott, and we all know what that's like to experience a loved one that's no longer with us. So I ask that we pray for them in the upcoming days and as this loss again becomes real in their lives. God will help us, I know that, and he'll help us very soon. Yes, I'm a little out of the voice mode this morning, but we'll do the best we can. This is hopefully a recipe for a short and sweet message, right? Anyway, the title of the message today is Kindling in Wood for the Fire of 2022. Amen. By the way, does anyone have a proof text for the song Praise Him this morning that we sang? Psalm 150. I was hoping someone would catch that's where that came from. That encourages me that someone did. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Father, I thank you for this day. And I just pray today, Lord, that you'll reinvigorate us, that you'll put that spark into our kindling, that it ignites the wood of revival and fire, Lord, that is when your word is preached and as people respond to it, a great thing will happen. Lord, we know we desperately need that in this year of 2022. It is your year. Ad Domini, the year of our Lord, 2022. We pray to that end, though, Lord, that people will become excited about their faith, that we won't be asleep at the wheel, that we won't hear the words and not respond. So I pray today, Lord, as we consider this message that's been in the refrigerator for a week, that it will come out of that refrigerator and get heated up this morning in the lives of the people here. Thank you for everyone that's come. Again, we raise the Hendricks family before your throne, Lord, for your compassion and comfort at this time of the loss of Scott. And Lord, for the rest of us, may we leave here differently than we came. And may this message be something that you definitely wanted and will be spirit-driven this day. Pray you'll help me, Lord. I'm struggling a little today. And that this will be used for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. By the way, just a warning before I go any further, because I was going to say this earlier.
when we have all these disruptions with the weather and so forth. I had a person call me last night. Are we having church tomorrow? Yes. But let me just say this. The danger that we have when we cancel services is that when we miss a service, it becomes easier for us to continue to miss. We do not want to cancel unless we have to, folks, and we need to be here. Because not only is it beneficial for us to be absorbed in the fellowship of other believers and to bear one another's burdens, but to be involved in the Word. And when we tend to start missing those kind of things, we'll find that our spiritual walk with the Lord will also decline. So I encourage us that we'll do our best through this winter. There will or may be times of disruption, but we need to regather and keep in that good pattern of gathering together and fellowshipping with one another around the Word of God. Well, friends in Christ, and Happy New Year. I was supposed to say all that, and thanks to Pastor Erickson for filling in. He has one message yet to preach because you had a cancellation on the last Sunday that he was going to speak. So he's got that in the hopper as well. And he may get a call here one of these days, and I appreciate that he was willing to feed you folks. I did appreciate his message. Kim and I enjoyed that as we were out in Colorado, and we're glad to be home, but we enjoyed our time out there. Hopefully you enjoyed your vacation from us. And it's a two-way street. You know, we need those breaks, and it helps us to be more fresh and on the ball for what's in store. Anyway, friends in Christ, my prayer for us all in 2022, and for some of us old-timers, can you believe that we're in the year 2022? You know, I still like the 70s and the 80s. But I need to like the day that we're living in because they're God's days. And God's working a great and mighty work in his time. But I pray that this year we would prosper in the Lord by drawing closer to him and appreciating and seeking his blessings as we continue to labor in his harvest field with joy in the days to come. Amen. It is my hope to see revival fires spread through our lives, our church, and our nation and world in 2022. There's no reason that it can't happen if we'll be the ones that will take the initiative to start it. We may not see a worldwide revival. We may not see a churchwide revival or a national revival, but we can see it in our own lives, folks. And that's where it starts. You think about the old camp or Sunday school song that dates some of us to, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. That's how it begins. Fires don't work backwards. They don't start with a big blaze because they burn down, but they start with a small spark and grow into a massive fire. My prayer is that we'll see that this year of 2022. How many of you believe that could happen this year? I believe it, folks. I do. To begin with this morning, I want to share briefly what lies in store for Fruitland in the year to come. No doubt about it, we've faced many challenges the last year, the last 2 years actually. But I hope you folks are optimistic about 2022. Opportunities abound if we are up to the challenge. Amen.
You're right on. Amen.
Look outside the windows. Everywhere you go, there's opportunities. The doors are not closed, folks. I'm not just talking about the gathering here at the church, but with people. You're still doing business. You're still reaching people. You're still out in his field. And there's opportunities, if we'll take the challenge. In the near-term morning message emphases, we will conclude a study on giving starting next Sunday. Lord willing, that we started back in early December. That's one of the things that's coming. And we'll also be challenged on personal spiritual growth issues, counseling issues, relationships, lifestyle choices, youth, discipleship, revival, and more. And on the PM messages, we'll be looking at some of the basics. And that already has been begun last Sunday evening with a message on separation. There's also a request that's on the docket from the suggestion box, which is out there in the foyer, on hot and cold churches operating as Christians in a quasi-totalitarian nation and loving our neighbors. Now, that's a mix of requests, if you've ever found one. But I'll do my best to tackle that. But your suggestions are always welcome. And I will accommodate these as best that I can throughout the way. Along again with the basic doctrines of the Christian faith. That's what we're here for, to preach the Bible and the basics of God's word and his message to us. I believe that we live in exciting times. I don't think anyone can argue with that. And at least some are still open to and searching for the truth. And Jesus Christ is the truth. He's also the way and the life. I would also like to see our Sunday school program grow in 2022 and be beneficial to all of our needs. Please pray and give suggestions in those areas anytime. We want to be a more user-friendly Sunday school. We need to see people take advantage of these opportunities to learn. Amen. Folks, in case you haven't noticed, if you go to have secular education, it's quite costly. This is delivered at a nominal cost. It can even be free if you choose it to be. The point is, there's value in studying the Word of God. Amen. Sunday school is important. We need to get regrouped and get back to the basics after a couple of years now, almost, of the COVID and all the rest of the things that are out there. Folks, that's not going to change. But we need to adapt, and we need to continue on and be excited with God's program. Amen. I also hope that we can hold our men's retreat that we planned for last year. It was canceled due to the COVID. We'll see what happens. But let me ask you, has God been good to Fruitland Baptist Church? And the overwhelming answer there is he has. We're not bad off at all, folks. The answer is yes. And I believe there is more to come in the year 2022. So am I optimistic? Yes. There's a lot of good that can happen in this year that God has given us. Well, this morning, and I was thinking about this morning, and I think about it a lot. What's it going to take to bring revival? Well, I'm going to give you some thoughts on that this morning from the book of Isaiah. And I believe the days that Isaiah lived in were very similar to the days that we live in. Yes, there's some differences. What was being talked about there was Israel. We're talking about the modern world, and in particular as citizens or people that are here in the United States, we're thinking about our own nation. But there's many similarities. And this is the question: what does it take to get God's people motivated toward Christ and to see revival fires burn in the year 2022? What's it going to take? Well, I'm going to give you some points on that today that God showed Isaiah. I believe it is possible. But the beginning thing there, and you have a handout this morning. It's not on the screen, but you have a handout. I already alluded to this. Isaiah chapter 5, either on your devices or in your paper Bibles this morning. But it just takes a spark. And that spark has to come from individuals. And I believe that Isaiah was in that type of a situation. If you look into the context, and obviously we can't go into all this morning, but begin to read the book of Isaiah from the starting point, the first chapter. What God delivered to Isaiah was a vision. He delivered his message in the form of a vision. Now, I believe this today, folks. God's already revealed all this to us. There is no special revelation necessarily needed for us to do what God wants. He's already told us. The problem is, we're not what? We're asleep at the wheel, folks. And I want to tell you this, God's going to judge that too. If you're here today and you're lethargic in God's word, he's going to judge you for that, believer or unbeliever. He is not, we are not in a static situation in our lives. We are here for a reason. And if you've been bought by the blood of the Lamb, we know that reason in particular. But let me just say this, if you're apart from Jesus Christ this morning, he wants to particularly save you today. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants everyone to be saved. We're not here just to pass time. You know, I have to say this. I've never done this in my life. And I've got to stay close to this mic because I'm not wearing a headset today. I've never been a thumb twiddler. You ask Mrs. Brown. Even in the night, I'm talking about things. I'm not done yet, folks, unless God's done with me. I still have all kinds of dreams and hope. There's things I want to try yet. You know? And that's me. I don't think that'll ever change. You know, you can ask people when I was a little kid. I already had my tricycle propped up at 3 years of age working on it with tools. You know? Let's get something done. And that's what God told Isaiah. He says, let's get something done, and I want you to take a leadership role as the spark. So here's the first point. A spark is the kindling. Excuse me, I'm having a tough time this morning. Please pray for me. A spark in the kindling is the basis for starting a fire. God's vision in and for your life. Amen. Everyone knows what the word kindling means, right? What's kindling? You must not know. Kindling is small materials, wood, grass, paper, that is used to ignite a fire. That grows into, it's fire starting material that grows into the major wood or whatever you have in your fire to ignite that. So it's the starting point. Well, Isaiah chapter 5, as God is working through this vision with Isaiah, and again, I can't present all of it to you this morning, but God is prompting Isaiah to service in the needy condition of the southern kingdom, in particular of Judah, of Israel. If you read the context around this and that history, Israel was in bad shape. Judah was in bad shape, folks. And we're going to look at just a few things, but I want you to read that context this morning. But God was giving warnings. You know, we learned that this morning in our junior, senior high Sunday school class. Think about it in Egypt. We were studying Exodus 15, where God miraculously brought his people out of Egypt, destroyed the Egyptians. They got through the Red Sea on dry land with walls of water. And what did they do the first thing they got across the creek? They complained because the water wasn't any good. Well, God delivered them from all that as well. But the fact of the matter is, God is able to do mighty things. And he is prompting in this situation, he's giving them a warning. Just like he did the Egyptians. The Egyptians didn't need to be destroyed in the midst of the Red Sea, did they? But they would not heed the warnings that God gave when he said, let my people go. And Pharaoh always said no. And right up to the end, all of his people, his military was destroyed in the Red Sea because they were pursuing the Israelites again when God had clearly told them and warned them many times. Folks, how many times have we been warned by God? Well, you're going to hear it one more time this morning. And there it is. And here it is, folks. Six woes. Now, when we see the word woe in English, W-O-E, not W-H-O-A, we're not working with horses here. You tell me, what's it mean when we see woe, when God speaks about it? It could be very serious. And we need to have heads up. When we've been given warnings that involve the word woe, we better be looking. Now, Isaiah, as we lead up here to chapter 5 and also in chapter 5, he's laid out a lot more than these six woes. But I'm going to give a few of these to you. I'm going to give all six to you this morning. You see, I'm not going to say anything, but you see if these match up to our current day environment in America and in our world. And I'm going to tell you in advance, they do. We better wake up. Because there's serious things that are going to take place. God never changes. He's always been gracious, just like with the Egyptians. He's been gracious to us, but it's time to get woke up in 2022. All right. Well, let's look at these six warning signs. You have your sheet there this morning. That people need to get right with God. That we're facing personal and national destruction. There could be people in this room this morning that are facing personal destruction. I believe the United States is facing national destruction. It is not due to a foreign enemy. It's due to our own ineptness before God. We've been given all the grace, all the blessings. Never a country that's had so much given to it. And we've squandered it away. Here it is. The first one, Isaiah 5:8. Isaiah 5:8. And I do want you to read this text because it has a lot in it and it'll reinforce what I'm bringing to you this morning. Isaiah 5:8. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. Well, this is what I get out of that verse, and I believe it applies. This is what I see. It's unchecked greed for everything but God. I think this identifies very closely to what our society is like today here in modern day America. Greed and the desire of everything else but the things of God. We're very ready to drink the polluted water, but we don't want to drink the sweet and all-sufficient water who is Jesus Christ. And we're still dabbling with all those kind of things. So that's the first one that God gave to Isaiah. Unchecked greed for everything but God. The second one is found in verse 11. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 11. If I can get my page turned here. Woe, he says for the second time, unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. Now I know you're going to say, Pastor, why do you choose to preach on something like this? I chose to preach on it because God led me to it, because he preached on it first, through Isaiah. And he says, these are the things that are affecting a nation that is headed for destruction. Well, folks, see if this rings a bell to us in our current environment. Just what I read to you there, verse 5:11. Rampant dependence on stimulants. I'm going to even go further than some of the things I'll delineate here, but you know what? Everyone has to be what? Bribed to do something. Or made to feel that there's a reason for doing things rather than the fact that just we should accept that God says we should do these things or we shouldn't do other things, right? In other words, we're not going to do it if we don't get what? Paid or the compensation or the gratification? You've heard of terms like instant gratification. You don't think those are real? Let me tell you something, folks. There's a lot of people in that mode today. And guess what? When something doesn't work out for them, what happens? They can't operate in that kind of an environment because they believe that they're entitled and that nothing ever goes wrong with me. But anyway, there was a rampant use of that type of thing in Israel. Stimulants, both artificial and other than God. Can you say today that the Lord God is the source of your joy and your strength to continue on? I hope that we can say that today. But for many, even people in this room, it could be that you're depressed. Now, do I believe depression is real? And we're going to look at some of these issues through the upcoming spring here. Yes, depression can be real, but we have a choice, my friends, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's a short-term thing for the believer. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. You see, God will help us if we'll get engaged with Him. He'll be the stimulant that we need to see great things accomplished. You tell me if I'm wrong on any of these this morning, folks. But the consumption of mind-altering substances in America is at an all-time high. Now, I'm going to agree with you here today, and someone might say it. Did prohibition work in the 1930s? No, and it'll never work. You cannot legislate morality. Morality must come from a living walk with the Lord Jesus Christ under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, who changes us, folks, and gives us a different perspective when we're saved on these type of things. But, folks, mind-altering substances, including alcohol, legal and illegal drugs, are one thing. But also, my friends, and I know you don't like to hear this from me, but for most people today, the government is their source of livelihood. All kinds of stimulus programs, handouts that are being given away. And folks, this is rampant in our day. I think I've mentioned this before. I cannot believe in the last year what I've seen here in Iowa, to be particular about this, but also Illinois. We see now that gambling on sports has been legalized. But it's not only been legalized, now there are offers coming from these companies, and by the way, they make a lot of money off people, off innocent people, to stimulate them into that process. Again, to guarantee them to win on the first time they gamble. And what happens? Well, we know that all these kind of things can get a hold of us, and they become addictions. And folks, that's what we live in today, as a nation of people that are addicted. They are addicted to many of these things that, again, were the case in Israel. Dependence on some kind of an external stimulus apart from God that we can continue to go on each and every day. Folks, let me tell you, our God, the God of the Bible, is sufficient. He is sufficient. Do you believe that this morning? He tells us, doesn't he? Philippians 4:19, I believe, is the verse. But my God shall supply all your needs through his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, folks, God has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten me. He knows our needs. And many times he even delivers our wants. But folks, God has the prescription for us. The external stimulants are the things that are going to not bring us to a revival in him. So that's the second woe. Now I got to get moving here. The third one, verse 18 of chapter 5. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope. Now I did a little bit of work on this, folks, to bring this into our modern day perspective. But here's what I come up with out of that verse. It's that it's a deception that has been brought upon our land and our world that sin is acceptable and good. Sin is sin. God still hates sin. He loves sinners, but he hates sin. Sin is never going to be good and profitable. It may seem to be for a few moments, the Bible says, but what happens? The thing that follows that up is destruction and misery. Our world is operating under the deception of Satan himself, that sin is acceptable and good. It is not. And Paul illustrated that very well in the book of Romans, where he says, may it never be in the life of a believer who has been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ that we sin the more. May it never be, Paul says. Sin is not right. And it is not acceptable, and it is not good. And the culture in Israel and the culture that we live in today has bought into that, that it is acceptable and it is good. It will never be, folks. It goes against everything that God stands for. Number four, found in verse 20. Woe, or a warning unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. If this doesn't describe what's going on right today in our modern world, I don't know what does. It's a reversal. It's not only goes along with the deception that's found in number three, but it's a reversal in the definition of good and evil. It's called what we hear now these later years, the woke culture. That somehow we've been deceived through the years. Al, I'll get to you later if I have time, okay? That somehow we've been deceived over the years by this kind of thing that we find in God's Word about sin and about how things operate. And that we've been, taken to the cleaners on that. Folks, that's not the case. They're the ones that have changed what God has said. Okay, Al, go ahead. Woke just means that we need to be awakened to what's going on, which the church needs to have some wokeness back to God's ways. But this is what it means, Al, is that people are woke to the new way of doing things, that we've been deceived. And it's just exactly the opposite. Christians, we need to get woke up to what's going on. Okay, Jason, I'll let you go, but we're running out of time.
Just another definition for that. They feel that they've been enlightened. That they have
We haven't been given, yeah. But folks, it's not new right here in Israel. This has been going on since the start. It started in where? The Garden of Eden. Satan tempted Eve with what? Try something that's different than what you've been told by God. It's there. Anyway, it's a reversal in the definition of good and evil. Number 5, found in verse 21. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Oh, don't we have a lot of that type of people around? Self-righteousness, self-serving attitudes of the people. It's all about me. It's all about my benefit. It's not about what God wants. It's about what I want because I'm God. I'm the one that deserves all the credit and all the glory. Well, that's very much a part of our current day culture. Self-righteousness and self-serving attitudes of people. And then verse 22, number 6. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Isn't it interesting that in the days here that Isaiah was delivered this in that vision, that he mentions these type of substance abuses and the things that connect with that twice in these woes? Do you think maybe we ought to wake up today, folks? Amen. We're on the wrong track. We need to be thinking seriously about some of these things that people accept into their lives today. Here's what it is, though, folks. The powerful and the prominent promote mind-altering addictive use and abuse. You know something, folks? You know why drugs are rampant in America today? It's because people make money off of them. And they make, there's M's here, they make money off of misery. There are people in high places that are controlling our lives today if we'll let them. I can mention names off the record, but let me just say this, folks. There are people that are there to take advantage of you and to get you hooked on a lot of different things so they can control you. Let me tell us this morning, folks, we need to be hooked on the Lord Jesus Christ and His ways. Because I'll tell you what, the ways of the wicked will not prevail. There is a just and righteous God, and yet His grace prevails, but there will be an accountability factor for all of us. Amen. Folks, the powerful and the prominent promote mind-altering, addictive use and abuse. It's not just substances. It goes right on down the line with a lot of things. You know, it's the persona that people... By the way, who's successful today? Who do you look at in your life as someone that's successful or something that is successful? Is it numbers? Is it wealth? Is it the glitz and glamour? Well, think about this, Christian. The people that are successful are the people that have done it God's way. That's what success is. All this other stuff is going to burn. The things of God will last forever. True success is doing it God's way. Anyway, a recognition of these in ourselves and in our land is the spark that ignites the kindling of revival fire as destruction looms and we turn to the God of the Bible in repentance. That's where it is, folks, right there. If we can agree this morning that these are going on not only in our world but in our lives and that there is an alternative offered by the Lord, then we might see something take place. But it's going to start with you and me personally. It's going to start when you say, you know what, I've had enough of buying into this system. I'm going to walk with Jesus. I'm not going to worry what people are going to say or how they're going to treat me, but I'm going to stand for Jesus. You think about that a little bit, folks. God tells us we ought not fear what man will do to us. Isn't that right? Amen. We better be fearful of what God is thinking of us if we're a believer. Or understand that if we're not a believer, we're on the wrong side of God. We're in serious trouble. Amen. And when we get this figured out, folks, that we need to do it God's way, then there might be a spark of hope for us. And I might be excited, too, to see it in a church. See, when people step out and they say, we're going to stand for Jesus, we're going to be involved in his work in a real and tangible way. You remember what I've been preaching for the last year? Some of you are tired of it. We need to be a what? A producer-driven church, not a consumer-driven church. When you make that transition, things will get exciting. All right. Second point of this message is we wind down on time. First of all, we needed the spark that gets the kindling started. And so now we see a little flame. If there's a little flame in you, if these things resonate with you that Isaiah was told by God, that destruction is on the near horizon, and there's a change in you, and there's a little flame that's now burning in the kindling, guess what? God will use that. But if you won't allow that spark to get started in your life, you will not be effective for God. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6, isn't it a neat chapter? Here it is, the second point. The ignited kindling engages the wood to blaze vigorously for God. Isaiah's vision that motivated him to action for God. So here we start here. There's three little subpoints. You can take down what you can here quickly. Isaiah 6, 1 through 4. Doug read this for you. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Have you ever stopped and read a passage like this? What it was like to have a vision into the throne room of God? There's several places in the Bible that people had that vision. Places in the book of Revelation that show what this is. Let me tell you something, folks. We better get real about God, who he is. We can't even approach a holy God. Isaiah's going to hear it here in just a minute. Holy, holy, holy. We don't have the means to approach a holy God other than through his holy son, Jesus Christ, that made that passage for us. But folks, let me tell you, there are big. God is big. He's bigger than anything in this world. Isaiah saw Jesus on the throne of God. He was high and lifted up, his train filled the temple. You know, for most and probably for many here today, Jesus is a passing thought. Oh, how I love Jesus. And I hope we do genuinely love him. But for many people, he's the genie in the magic lamp that we rub so we won't go to hell. But there's more to it than that, folks. Have you had a face-to-face vision with Jesus Christ? I know he came as the meek Savior here to this earth to die on the cross, but folks, when he comes back again, he's going to be coming with judgment. His eyes will be such as fire. He will look through any of us, and he knows what's going on in our lives. He looks at further into this throne room, and it stood, and above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. By the way, this just blows me away when I hear about these angelic beings. Have you had an experience like that with God? And realize this is not common. No, this is not cartoons, folks. This is God's dwelling place. And it shows who he is. He is Almighty God. And with twain he covered his face, and twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Have you seen Jesus in that light recently? And notice here in verse 4, I like this verse because this is what I want at Fruitland. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. I've said it for a long time. We need some holy smoke. See, if I was Billy Sunday, I'd have taken that and given it a throw. It's been bothering me the whole morning here, bumping into it. I want to see holy smoke rolling at Fruitland. Because people have gotten shaken up about this, about the Lord, and they're excited. By the way, where there's smoke, there's what? But not only was the holy smoke blowing there that Isaiah observed, the whole place was shaken. Fruitland Baptist Church needs a shake-up. It needs a Holy Spirit shake-up. If that will happen in 2022, and it happens individually, before it happens corporately, you'll see some great things happen in our community, and in your life and mine, and in those that we engage around us. We need a shake-up. Isaiah's vision of God, Jesus in particular here, on his throne, in his throne room, and his holiness and power of his presence stirred Isaiah to action. He was shaken to movement. We will not get anywhere if our spark isn't motivated to action, to ignite the wood of a revival fire. Today might be enough to get you to think about it, but it's going to take more than that to see it all take place. It's a start. Isaiah 6, 5 through 7, the second subpoint. Here's where Isaiah got with it here with the program. He says what? He uses woe here. Isaiah is coming to understand, I've seen this all wrong. I haven't been engaged. I've seen God. I've seen Jesus on his throne. And woe is me. Because he says, I'm undone. I'm not in the right motive here with the right perspective of who God is and where I am as I face him. He begins to acknowledge all these things. I played this one time here years ago. I probably got in a lot of trouble. Can't think of the guy's name now. It'll come back to me. The Mississippi Squirrel.
Oh, Ray Stevens.
Remember that? The day the squirrel went to work in the first self-righteous church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula? Remember when the squirrel crossed over Sister Bertha's? That's the kind of experience we need to have with God to see a revival get started. Because what Isaiah found out, he says, I'm not right. I'm unclean. My lips are unclean. And I'm dwelling in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts, who is Jesus. Folks, we've been wallowing in the slop for a long time. You know, the more you live in a culture that's against God, the more you turn against him too, because it has a desensitizing effect on us. We need to get it straight with God. And I'm here to confess to you today, I'm not what I should be before him either. And none of us are. But Isaiah got it right when he saw Jesus. Have you seen him? Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. You know what? It wasn't enough for Isaiah to recognize where he'd slipped up. But Isaiah recognized the need for what? A cleansing. And God laid the coal from the altar upon him. I'll tell you what, folks, we better get cleaned up for Jesus. And I'm here talking to myself first. We need to go. It's one thing to acknowledge him and understand and be motivated, but then we need to be cleaned up. And there's nothing that can clean us other than the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But we need to have that coal laid upon us where we get clean and we get in the mode for his mission. Isaiah diagnosed his condition before God. Have you done that lately? Have I? I have. And he repented. And he was offered cleansing and sanctification for service. Let me just say this. God's not going to use you if you don't have both feet firmly planted on his side. I think we just talked about that the other day here. Either in a Sunday evening message or in Bible study. You can't do it with one foot on one side for God. He wants all your commitment. And that brings us to the last point this morning in verses 8 through 13. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? By the way, there's another allusion to the Trinitarian form of God. For us, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then said I, this is Isaiah writing here, O Lord, don't ask me to do it. Let's come clean about this, folks. In many cases, when it comes to the service for the Lord, we say, I hope it isn't me that has to do it. We've got seats empty here today of people say, I don't want to do it. I've got a hangnail this morning, so I'm not going to gather with God's people. By the way, I was going to put up this week on the sign, there is no snow in hell. And I may still do it. Hopefully, though, the message that's out there on that sign is pretty clear. Where are you headed? Heaven or hell? But you know what? This shows that there's proof in the pudding. When Isaiah didn't pass this off, he didn't try to duck out of a responsibility before God. He says what? Here I am. But beyond that, he says what? I'm ready to go. Where are we at on that this morning, folks? I'm telling you, we're living in a day when people are not looking toward God. This place would be full and we'd have been in building programs many times over. Amen. Did you hear what Doug read earlier? God told Isaiah, he says, go preach to these people and put them to sleep. I think Isaiah preached the truth, but they were asleep. And God says, you know what? By the way, the Bible says this basically, God's going to let you go if that's your choice to walk away from him. He will let you have your way. We got to finish up. Where was I at here? Here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Is that anyone here today? Get him shut down, let's go. But that's the environment that Isaiah was in. I think we're in that similar environment today, but I believe there's hope. I won't read the rest of the verses Doug did, but here's the summation of it. God ignited the fire in Isaiah with the coal from the altar that burned in the desire to spread the good news to a nation facing destruction. Read the rest of the book of Isaiah. What was Isaiah's path like in all this? It was not easy. Secular history says that Isaiah was sawed in two for his stand for the Lord. Well, here it is, folks, an answer. Most would not receive it, even though they heard it. I hope that's no one here today. But we'll know, won't we? Because we'll know the proof's in the pudding. God sustained him until his purpose had been achieved in hardship, until, as Doug read, and I won't go there this morning because of time, until his remnant had been called and preserved. Folks, God always worked through the leftovers. He worked through the 10%ers. And I believe with all my heart today, that's how he'll continue to work. I want to believe there'll be a great revival, but it doesn't take a massive revival for God to accomplish his work. It just takes a few. A remnant. Even though I wasn't in the best of modes of speaking today and preaching, if 10% will respond to this message in a serious walk with the Lord Jesus, it will make a difference. If even one will respond to this message, it will make a difference. Well, here's the conclusion. Amen. Believe it or not, folks, God's speaking to us today. And he's speaking in the same kind of an environment as he did when he called Isaiah. Has your heart and life been kindled and lit on fire for God's action in 2022? Has the kindling and the wood of this church been set on fire? I do want to make two quick turns here today. Acts 2:3 Acts 2:3. I'll go there quickly. Acts 2:3. Remember at Pentecost? How that all got going? The Holy Spirit descended. And how did He descend? Here it is. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Has the Holy Spirit spoken to your heart this morning? Even at John's poor preaching, but from His Word. Fire! Fire from heaven and the power of the Holy Spirit grabbed a hold of these people in Acts chapter 2 as they began God's program for the church. And then go to Jeremiah 29 and 23, 29. Jeremiah chapter 9, or verse chapter 20, verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. By the way, Jeremiah went through a lot more even than Isaiah. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. You know, Jeremiah was ready to fold it up. I think you can make that case for Isaiah at different times. But notice what happened here, folks. We're talking about fire this morning, right? You see it? But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing and could not stay. Maybe there's someone here this morning that was on fire for the Lord at one time, but your fire's gone cold. But I'll tell you what, if you'll respond to the Spirit today, you won't stay cold. Amen. That's what Jeremiah said. I tried to quit. I had that happen in my life before. I told you when I came down here, oh, I'll just teach a Sunday school class and get along. No. God, if you are really going to walk with God, He's going to grab a hold of you and you won't be able to say no. Amen. I get excited about this. I hope you do too. It was like a burning fire shut up in my bones. Let your fire burn today, folks. What are you waiting on? Did I say that? Yeah. No, 23, 29. Jeremiah 23, 29. Jeremiah 23, 29. Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? We get into the word, we begin to stand for the word, we begin to deliver the word, we begin to live the word, and folks, your life will be consumed with the fire of God and with the power of His word behind you, just like it says here, to break things like a hammer. That's the problem, folks, today. We've lost our fire. We've lost our fire. Well, let me ask you this question. And I would like us to all close our eyes and bow our heads this morning when I ask this. And mine will be closed as well. But in case you want to peek, I'm going to put it up first. But there will be an opportunity here at the end. My hand's up. Now let's close our eyes. No one looking around. And I'm just going to ask us a few questions here this morning. Has your fire tended to have been dying in recent days and years as a believer? Can you admit that to Jesus today? Do you recognize and want it to be back like Isaiah's or like Jeremiah's? Can you acknowledge that today with a raised hand to the Lord? And lastly, are you ready to see this fire in 2022 and be a part of it? Now, I don't know who all raised their hands or didn't raise them or what the situation is in our lives, but God knows this morning about these things. He knows if you're sincere about this. No one else knows it. It's between you and God. But I just wonder, will this day go down as a day in history where we really took a hard look at things like Isaiah and we're willing to let the Lord kindle or rekindle a spark that ignites the wood of revival in our lives. You know, and the Lord knows. You, if you are led to come forward later about that, I'm here to encourage you. There will be others that are as well. By the way, my hand's still up. My eyes are closed. But I need encouragement too. But I want to see us back with the fires of revival. But it doesn't matter what I want, it's what God wants. And then lastly, I'm putting my hand down, but I am opening my eyes. But I hope you'll keep your head down and your eyes closed. I would never embarrass anyone. But would there be anyone here today that maybe has realized that you are trapped in those six warnings that God gave, the woes that he gave Isaiah? You're trapped in this world. Maybe you've never known the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm going to look up here in just a minute. Would you raise your hand today? I'm not going to embarrass you or do anything, but I'm going to pray for you. And I want you to know that I and others here are willing, again, to show you how you can come into a new walk with Jesus and to see a fire lit within you that'll make a difference in this world. Thank you for a hand. Are there others this morning? Thank you. Today is the day, folks. We don't know how many more days we have left, but we know we've heard it again. And Jesus' grace is still here today in our lives. I pray today that this will be a day of change and a rekindling of the fire, or a renewal or a starting of a fire in your life. And I encourage you to get right with Jesus today. If that involves you coming forward, that's great to make a public commitment or testimony. If you have a question, I'm glad to visit with you. Let's pray, and we're going to sing. Father, I just pray you'll work in the hearts of the people here today, that you'll call who you will, and that they'll respond, and I'll respond, Lord, to what your message is for us to deliver. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and take our hymnals, number 619.
Immediate business meeting to start, so we're going to come to order.